Writer Verlin Klinkenborg's most widely read work these days is usually anonymous. He writes unsigned editorials for the New York Times. You see his name on that page only occasionally on essays about rural life, a series of pieces that Klinkenborg says are meant to revive the Times' tradition of nature writing. Many of those essays have been collected in a new book, The Rural Life. NPR's Alex Chadwick spoke with the author.
This is nature writing that his publisher compares to Henry David Thoreau. Flattering, says Verlin Klinkenborg, but he wonders if it's entirely warranted.
Thoreau is a serious naturalist, someone who knew the natural world inside and out. At the very best, I'm an accidental naturalist.
Okay, but it's at least a happy accident. And he did grow up close to soil and seasons.
I was one step removed from the farm. My dad was a farm kid. My mom was a farm kid. All my aunts and uncles were farmers. But I grew up in a small town in Iowa. And any farmer knows that a town kid is not a farm kid in a serious way. But I was lucky enough to spend a good chunk of my summers as a little boy on my uncle's farms. And that's where I learned the little bit that I know about how they actually lived and how they actually worked.
Life in the country is connected to the calendar, and Verlin Klinkenborg's new book is divided into monthly chapters. The essays collected in each one come seasonally, as they did when the paper first published them. Many are from earlier, before the Times had hired him on staff to help form its editorial voice.
And I wrote a bunch of freelance pieces for the editorial page, wherever I happened to be, in Wyoming, Montana, the Northeast, about whatever I saw that seemed to interest me. And they seemed to decide, after watching me write about nature, that I could probably write about things that were not nature as well.
Where do you live? Do you live in New York City, or do you live somewhere on a farm?
Somewhere on a farm. My wife and I live straight north of the city, about 3 hours up in Columbia County, hard against the Massachusetts border. My life is divided, really, into halves. 2 or 3 days a week, usually 3 days a week in Manhattan, and then the rest of the time up in the country.
And what do you do in the country? You live on a farm, but you don't actually farm, do you?
Well, I don't actually farm in the sense that I don't plow the land and I don't raise crops and sell crops. But I do farm in the sense that I get up every morning and do chores, and those chores include feeding chickens and feeding turkeys and feeding pigs and feeding horses and gathering eggs and shoveling manure and making sure the waters are filled. Those things bear a pretty close resemblance to farming.
I'd like to ask you to read a couple of things,
sure,
if I could.
What do you have in mind?
If you could turn to page 172 and just read that first paragraph.
Okay. I found myself Monday on a stretch of rural highway in eastern Colorado at the time of morning when round bales lying in the hayfields look like cattle grazing, and vice versa. I was driving toward the sunrise, which was still only a premonition in the distance. The horizon in that direction was a long, low ridgeline, dotted either with trees that resembled a band of clouds or clouds that had rooted themselves with stems to earth, or possibly very large sheep, moving single file with a grim and stately purpose.
Your essays are a lot about the natural world, not actually so much about farming. The title of the book is The Rural Life. These are really your personal observations about life. These are not stories. You're not writing a lot about what happens to your neighbors, for instance.
No, that's right. Partly because I think people live a life that is detached. There's not much agriculture there anymore. People live there for all sorts of reasons, and the reason I live there is really to surround myself, to immerse myself in nature. And what I find is that I'm not a naturalist in the sense of a person who makes it a part of each day's job to go out and visit the natural world, see what's in it, find out what's going on. I'm an accidental observer in the sense that I live my life, I go about my work, I feed the animals, do all the things that we do, and nature happens all around me, and I try to pay close attention to it as it happens.
And if you could read in December the piece about snow.
The opening one?
Yeah.
Probably the second paragraph would be...
Okay.
Fallen snow is fine, but I like the sight of it falling, fine as dust or so fat you can hear it land against the kitchen window. I like the tunnel of dry snow you drive through at night, the headlights blanking out a few yards ahead, and the feeling that you're driving into some abyssal vacuum. I like the ground blizzards and the snow that slithers down the road ahead of you. What I like is the visual impairment snow brings with it, the way it obscures some things and defines others, like the wind. My grandmother Carly always used to say to me when I was in one of my childhood snow reveries, "You won't feel that way when you're my age." I'm halfway there now, and nothing's changed.
There is a piece here that is an absolutely hilarious account of human doings at the dedication of the Thoreau Institute. Mm-hmm. That's a conservation initiative brought about by a rock star. But even there, you go back to Thoreau and Observations of Nature.
Well, it was a very odd moment. You're standing watching a piece of land being dedicated to commemorate Thoreau, someone who was a true naturalist and who had what I think of as a sort of a very radical vision of America and how it worked. President Clinton and his wife were there. And what's hilarious about it is that out of the woods came bounding onto the stage Tony Bennett to sing a verse of America. It was just the strangest moment I've ever witnessed, because it was as if we were seated out front of a Las Vegas stage waiting for Tony Bennett to come on.
To sing in honor of Henry David Thoreau.
Exactly. Hard to imagine anything stranger, anything less Thoreauvian, but that's the sort of thing in that setting that naturally leads you back to think about what Thoreau means, the sound of a man trying to express the intimate relationship between humankind and the natural world that surrounds us.
Writer Verlin Klinkenborg's new book is titled The Rural Life. This is Alex Chadwick, NPR News.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.